come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled Count It All Joy, a teaching through the books of Philippians and James. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
All right, here we go. We are reminded with that worship, what? God is here. Here we go. God is here.
God is here.
God is real.
God is real.
God is God.
God is God.
And I
am not.
Am not.
Am not.
God's will.
God's will.
God's way.
God's way.
God's time.
God's time.
That's right.
That's right.
Okay, here we go. Here's our verse. Y'all ready? Yes. Okay, here we go. If you really fulfilled love of... No. If you really fulfilled the royal law, according to the scripture... What is it? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Then what happens? You do well. James 2, verse 8. Let's do it again. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture... Let me hear you. Come on, I'm going to do it with you. Okay. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Then what happens? You do well. James 2, verse 8. Now we're going to do it really good now, okay? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. Where is it? James 2, verse 8. You did it!
Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for your presence with us. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your grace that you pour out on us at all times, Lord, for the fact that you are here with us, Lord, that you have prepared the way, that you have brought ladies here tonight, and you have ladies online that are watching and participating in that way. Father, you have people all over the world that are studying your word, even tonight, Lord. They are studying your word, Lord, and we're hiding your word in our hearts, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that you left behind something for us to know, and that is that you love us with an everlasting love, and it's your loving kindness that has drawn us. So we thank you, Lord. We stand firm in the confidence that you are known, that you know us, and we look forward to that day that we would know you in such a way that you know us, Lord, that we would know you completely and thoroughly, and we look forward to that day coming upon us very, very soon. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so as I was getting ready, well, first of all, was anybody else challenged by this chapter? Did anybody else look at it and go, oh, well, yes, I do. I do that. I prefer people over other people. I do it. I don't realize I'm doing it, but all of a sudden I'll see somebody, and in our text, we're going to be talking about the rich and the poor, but sometimes you'll see somebody and you go, oh yeah, but I don't have time for that. Okay, so I really would rather talk to this person over here, and you are preferring, I am preferring another person over this person because this person is more comfortable for me. And sometimes we do that. Is there anybody in this room that you have never been in a position where you felt like you were, someone else was preferred over you? Yeah, see, we've all gone through it. We've all been, in a way, victims. And I hate to use that word because it connotates something else. But we all have been partakers of that. And we do not want anyone else to feel like we felt at that moment. So that's what this chapter is all about. I looked for a story. I'd had a story in my mind about this wonderful story about this person, and they broke down along the side of the highway, and someone came along and they helped them, and then they drove away, and then they got lots of money, and it was a surprise to them, and they had looked at this person and just served them because they needed help. And I looked all over for this story. I called people from out of state to help me remember this story, and everybody goes, no, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. And I finally found it and found out it was an urban legend. I was so disappointed because it ruined the whole opening of what I was going to talk about. But those things do happen, and nobody has written about it. People who serve by the fact that people need serving. And so Kathy last week used the word authentic. Authentic. Authentic stability is the key words of this Bible study of the book of James. And it's filled with that authenticity. That authenticity describes what James was all about. James 2 continues the theme of maturity, of authenticity, of stability. And when James opens his letter, he challenges us to view trials as opportunities to grow. I'm so excited that I've been going through so much growth lately. I'm so excited to know that the things in my life that I am growing up. And someday soon, maybe I'm going to be really mature and I won't have to go through all these things again. But James tells us, and I love James. I love people who just say, this is the way that it is. He just lays it out there. There's no flowery stuff all around it. There's no guessing at what he's saying. We know exactly what he's saying, and so we can move forward in that, in what he is saying. So I love that I am growing in through those trials. He says that every trial we overcome helps us mature as Christians. I am so excited to be maturing. I am still maturing. And I will continue to mature until Jesus comes and gets me. The trials will not stop, because when Jesus comes to get me, I will be like him, for I shall know him as he is. And so I won't have to go through those trials anymore. I will have finally arrived. Enduring them makes our faith and relationship with Jesus all the stronger. The maturity leads us to put our faith into action. And James says, we are blessed when we look into the perfect law of liberty and do what it says. Not to be hearers of the word only, but to be doers of the word. To put into action the things that we have learned. And we're going to see how faith requires us to have actions also. And it goes directly into James 2. When we put our faith into action, we will mature, we will grow up. In many ways, the Christian life today is at odds with the culture. Would you agree with that? If you don't fit in with the culture, you get canceled, right? Christians are so totally politically incorrect in every way. I am politically incorrect. I say things that are politically incorrect all the time. I don't mean to. I don't set out to do it. But because of what we believe, because of how we believe, because of what's in this book, it will cause us to be politically incorrect, because we're following what Jesus taught us. And so here we go. Your Bibles are already open to chapter 2 of the book of James. And it's written to, first of all, my brethren. So who is it written to? It is written to believers. This is not written to the guy, just the guy on the street. Only the guys have to do this, by the way, because it says my brethren. So we're free. We do not have to deal with this. Only the guys have... Yeah, of course. We know that that's not true. Do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. Don't hang on to that kind of faith with partiality. For there should come... And then he begins to tell us the story. He tells us the story about a man coming into the fellowship, and he has rings on, and he's dressed to the nines, and he looks all great, and he looks very important. He looks to be very rich. And what do? You seat him up in the front because you kind of want everybody to know that this person comes to this church. You want them to know that he has preferred this church over all the other churches. And we seat him in that place of prominence because we have judged him to be important. And then the other guy comes in, and it says he comes in and he's dressed in not so nice clothes. I was thinking as I was putting this together that he was dressed in Kmart clothes. No, it wasn't that. He was dressed like a servant in this man's eyes. And so this man says, come and take the place of a servant. You can sit by my footstool. You can sit down here in this place of unimportance because you are not as important to me because of the way that you look. This man judged everyone else by the outward appearance. God judges us. He looks at our heart. And we are to look at the heart of other people and not to judge them in any other way other than their heart. And so as we go through this, I have so little of my notes that I used this morning, so I'm going to go right through this. He looks on the heart. And listen, my brethren, verse 5, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith? The poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him. You've dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? We are called Christians. We are called little Christs at that particular time. It was not a compliment to be called a Christian at that time. And so we are called by that name. They blaspheme that. And they take us to court. And I have seen time and time again, if you have money, you can win a case because you have money. But that's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is that the poor are rich in faith. Why are they richer in faith than the rich monetarily? Because the poor know that they have need. They know that they have need, and they are aware of it, and so they are rich in that faith. They trust the Lord because we have to. I grew up very, 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 very poor. And I remember when they told me when I became a Christian that I was going to go to heaven and walk on streets of gold. And I said, I don't want to go to heaven because I don't fit where there's that much riches. I don't fit there. But you see, as I grew and I understood, be rich in faith. Be rich in that faith that God can do whatever he wants to do in my life. Psalm 37:25, David says, I was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen a child of God begging bread or his seed begging bread, his children begging bread. God will care for us no matter what our situation. Years and years ago, I spoke at a place that was very, very rich. And I spoke to the ladies, and while I was speaking to them, the Lord put on my heart and said, by this time next year, your money will be gone. Okay, I think I worded it a little nicer. I'm not sure, but I know that there were some women that were really, really upset with me for having said that. It wasn't but months later that the crash happened. What was that, in 18, maybe, when that happened? Maybe it was earlier than that. The thing was, the trust was in the money and not in the Lord. And so we want to put our trust in the Lord. When we were in here, speaking of seating the rich man and the poor man, before COVID, there was a man who came in, and he was kind of tattered. He obviously had had something to drink, and he was very sleepy. And he came, and they directed him, really, up to the front seat. And he sat right in this front seat over here, and I used to sit over there. And he kept kind of falling asleep. And then the guy behind him would tap him, and he'd wake up, and then he'd fall asleep. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and he told me to go and sit in the chair next to him so that when he fell asleep, he wouldn't fall over. And I was fearful of what people would think if I did that. And so I didn't do that. And I missed out on a blessing. And you missed out on a blessing seeing something that God put together for that poor man. But what did God do? God is faithful. The man behind him that kept waking him up took care of him. Cared for his need. And there was a guy that was taking care of the guy. God did it. I missed out on a blessing on what God told me to do. I'm convinced that God told me to do that. I missed out on the blessing. So it wasn't I wasn't partial to anyone. I didn't prefer anyone over this man. I was being afraid of people. What people would think. And isn't that what we do sometimes when we're walking around people and we just don't feel comfortable with that one, or we don't feel comfortable with this one, and so we don't speak the words that the Lord has for us to speak to them. God is faithful. God is faithful. They take you to court. And do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of them all. And so we have here, be careful, love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, love your neighbor as yourself. In Luke 10, 29 through 37, the story of the Good Samaritan. What does the man say? Who is my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? My neighbor is anyone that I can do something for. That's my neighbor. The one that I can go before and I can do something for them. Caring for them. Our neighbor is any person who has a need which we can help to meet. When we show partiality, we are sinning. And so we look at, why did God give the whole Ten Commandments? Why do we have the Ten Commandments? To show us that we can't keep them. That's exactly it. Okay, so I've got it down. I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. Okay, I got that one down. I don't worship idols. I haven't murdered. I haven't committed adultery. Oh, but I caught myself in a lie. I didn't mean to lie, but I lied. And I have broken the whole law by breaking one of it. We break the whole law when we break only one of them. And it says here that we will, now if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. Treat other people like you want to be treated. Think about what the other person is feeling. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Judgment is without mercy to those who show no mercy. Treating other people the way that we would like to be treated. And I remember saying this morning as I was teaching, I realized I would treat people as I love my neighbor as myself. Is there anybody else in here that there are some days you don't really even like yourself? Anybody else ever feel that way? You just don't like yourself? And so when I'm not liking myself and I'm told to treat my neighbor, love my neighbor as I love myself, I don't like myself, and right now I don't like my neighbor either, because I'm loving them like I love myself. I don't have the capacity without the Spirit in me to love people like God loves people. And I judge them by appearance. But God judges the heart. God looks on the heart. So for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. If we show mercy to others, the judgment which might otherwise fall on us will be replaced by mercy. I will receive the mercy that I give. Remember that the way we treat the least lovable person is the way that we treat our Savior. Matthew 25:40. The way that we treat the least among us is the way that we treat the Savior. How does that work? I was hungry and you fed me. I needed a place to stay. You took me in. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. Lord, when did we see you do that? When you took in that person, when you cared for that person. When you cared for that one, you fed them, you gave them something to drink, you cared for them, you loved them. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And so then we move from, it feels like it's separated. It feels like this first portion is separated from the second portion, but we're going to see how it all ties together. What does it profit, my brethren? If someone says he has faith but does not have works, verse 14, can faith save him? If a brother or a sister is naked, and it goes on to tell us another story. If there's a situation where a person is naked and they are hungry and you have the capacity to help them, but you say, oh, go ahead, be warmed, be filled. You're going to be okay. God's going to provide for you. I'm sure of it. And I don't do it. That is not saving faith. Faith works. Saving faith is that faith. We're not talking about having faith that works. We're really talking about having saving faith. Saving faith is a faith that trusts in the Lord with all your heart and not leaning on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledging him so he can direct your paths. Proverbs 3:5-6. And so we're introduced to these people. We are introduced to this person who has need. if we don't give them the things that are needed. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. I will show you my faith by my works. You say that there's a God. You say that there's one God. Oh, big deal. Because the demons believe that too, but they know enough to shudder over it. It's not a big deal that you believe that there is one God, but that you would have your faith in him and you would move in that way. We're not talking about works or words. It is talking about faith that works. The works will follow a saving faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Works are not the root of salvation, but the fruit of salvation. There is evidence. It is not the root of founded. It is the works are not the root of salvation, but the fruit. They are not the cause, but the effect. Works are not the cause, but they are the effect. In Proverbs 23:6, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. How can it follow me? Because I have given grace and mercy, goodness and mercy, and it follows behind me. And I am treated the way that I have treated other people. It goes after me. The effects of a saving faith, a tree that produces good fruit, is saving faith. Faith is invisible. You can only see the works of faith to know that someone truly has faith. You only see that on the outside. A calorie is invisible. But can you see the result of calories that you can't see if you use a lot of them? It's the same way. Faith with works. The faith is invisible, but the works show the evidence of it. And so it all comes together in that way. So you believe in one God. The demons believe and they shudder. They have the sense to tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, now we're going to go into two people. We're going to talk about Abraham. We're going to talk about Rahab. And it says in verse 21, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see the faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Do you all know the story of Abraham and Isaac? Is there anyone that doesn't know the story of Abraham and Isaac? Because we'll go over the story if there's one person that doesn't know. He offered up his son as a sacrifice because God asked him to give up the most important thing to him. And he laid him on the altar because he believed God. God had given him a promise. God said, through Isaac, I will raise up a nation. And he believed him. And he knew that no matter what happened, I'm doing what God has told me to do. And no matter what happens, I know that God will keep his promise. And you know the story. There was the ram in the thicket. There was the voice from heaven that said, take the ram. Take the son off, take the ram. I know that you will put me first. I know that I'm the most important one to you. And so, as he's there, working through it all, the story is in Genesis 22, if you want to read it on your own, about that. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? Joshua 2, chapter 2. And there they were. And she believed the God she had heard about. She only heard about him. How did she hear about him? She heard people talking about him. She heard people sharing about him and the great deeds that he did and how he overthrew nations. She heard about him and she believed the spies, what they said. They said, if you do what we ask you to do, you will be saved. If you come into this place and all of your family with you, they will all be saved. But if you go out, we're not responsible for you. So stay in here. And because she believed, it was a work of faith that Rahab did. It was a work of faith. It was a work of faith that Abraham did when he offered up Isaac. Bill said this when he was on the radio today. Not this one, but authentic faith is stable faith, is faith that works. But it's been said, this is what Bill also talked about today, faith that does not change your actions, it's doubtful that it will change your destiny. Faith that does not change your actions, it is doubtful that it will change your destiny. If I don't change my actions... Rich Mullins, the singer, said, faith without works is like a song you can't sing. It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. It's been a long time since I've heard that little phrase. You're about as good as a screen door on a submarine. You got to have a say it with a southern accent for sure on that one. But that's what faith without works. You have no evidence of the faith. It's just talk. It's empty words. And we have those examples of Rahab and of Abraham. They both believed the promise. Abraham, that Isaac would be the beginning of a great nation, and Rahab believed that she and everyone in her household would be saved. This is saving faith. So we must ask ourselves, two questions. Am I willing, like Abraham, to offer the dearest thing in my life to God? Am I willing, like Abraham, to offer the dearest thing in my life to God? And the second question, am I willing, like Rahab, to turn my back on the world in order to be loyal to Christ? Am I willing to be a traitor to the world in order to be loyal to Christ? I have a little thing to read to you as we close. I think tostadas are underrated. What could be better than a crispy tortilla piled high with layers of everything delicious, topped off with sour cream and a generous scoop of guacamole? Perhaps that's not as popular as their grab-and-go cousins, the taco and burrito, because there's no easy way to eat them. Nope, the only way to eat a tostada is to dive right in with your mouth wide open. You've got to go total tostada. No half-hearted nibble will do. Still, you're going to get it all over your face and probably on your shirt, but it's worth it. Recently, on my way to a meeting, I went to a drive-thru for a fast food tostada, eating it quickly and slurping up an iced tea. I headed to my meeting. It was a good meeting. I got to talk to several friends, and a few hours later, I arrived home and collapsed on the sofa. My hand brushed the side of my face, and I felt something. What's that? I wondered. And how long has it been there? Somehow I knew I couldn't believe it. I had tostada schmear on my face. I laughed as I recalled how many people I had spoken to that night. Not one of them told me I had guacamole on the side of my face. You know what? I believe the Christian life is best lived in the same way. Total tostada. You've got to be all in, fully committed, even if it gets messy, and it will. There's no joy or satisfaction in a Christian life that is a half-lived, half-committed, or half-hearted. I say go for it. Don't hold back. Give 100% of your life to Him. Dive into His Word with your heart opened wide. I think you'll discover that it's piled high with promises, comfort for the downtrodden, wisdom for the wandering, and guidance. Wisdom for the wandering and guidance for the wandering. What could be better? But be warned, when you live your life like life that way, it's going to show all over your face. And isn't that the way that it is? Faith that works is going to show. If it doesn't show, then you don't have faith. Faith that doesn't change your actions, I doubt that it can change your destiny. Our actions should change when we come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. I thank you for your love. I thank you, God, that you are our strength. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. Help us as women, Lord, to walk in that faithfulness, to show that faithfulness to the world. Lord, to put feet to our faith, that our actions would show what's going on, Lord, just like that calorie that you can't see, but it shows all the evidence when there's lots of them there. Thank you, Lord, that you're causing us to grow. Thank you for the trials that are in our lives. Thank you, Father, that you remind us that everything that happens in our lives is for a purpose. It's not just happening just because, but that you are in complete control and we can rest in you and we can know that you have all of this in your hand. Lord, there is nothing catching you by surprise. And as we pray for our country and we pray for this world, Lord, we pray above everything else, Lord, that as many people as possible would come to know you as their personal Savior. Above all else, above every election, above every mandate, above every bill that's passed, above everything, Lord, that people would come to know you as their Lord and Savior and have that intimate relationship with you. And that they would walk in a faith that makes other people want what they have. Help us to be evidence of our faith in a way that people want what we have. And we will be thankful and we will praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys as you get into your small groups. Enjoy it and keep doing great things for God. Jesus, we worship you.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495. In the power of your name, I'm giving up, letting go.